The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 12th day of March, 2012. The Dow is up 26 points, the S&P down 3, the comp down 8. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
A little bit of an unusual day. The Dow trying to go positive, or staying positive, majority of the session. S&P negative. And while the two occasionally diverge and run in different directions, for the most part, they move in lockstep together. And so the market, it's been a bit of a tug of war. Who's going to win? Are the Dow components going to finally drag the S&P over our weekly trading zone and move higher, or is it going to be vice versa? Will the S&P finally drag the Dow down? At the moment, the tug of war continues, and so we'll just simply have to wait it out and see what happens. Back on Friday, the action was extremely quiet. The E-mini futures spent the majority of Friday's session just churning inside of a 9-tick range. Now, not a 9-point range, but a 9-tick range. Now, we've got rollover behind us. There's still solar storms going on. Greece is still doing the default dance. Iran is still playing hide-and-seek with enriched uranium. And all of those factors should create some pretty good volatility. So far, it hasn't. In fact, quite the opposite. So is this the proverbial quiet before the storm? Are we putting in a top? Is there something bigger going on? I'll show you a real quick chart of Friday. Right here. 870,000 contracts. A 9-tick range. 5 excruciating hours. Now, they weren't excruciating if you were golfing or boating or whatever it is you do. If you were sitting here staring at this thing go tick, tock, tick, tock, it was indeed excruciating. Now, once that range was broken out of, well, then everything changed. Or did it? We came out of the... Now, remember, we spent 5 hours grinding away in that 9-tick range. But once we finally broke out, as you can see right here in the corner, once we finally broke out of that range, we went from 66 down to a low at 63. We moved a full 3 points. That's actually 12 ticks. And then we bounced. And this is all about the area here, weekly trading zone 64-65. Remember, it's not an exact number as much as it is an area. So we bounced, came back, put in a little double bottom. This side, the low, just a little bit higher. And then a pretty nice rally. Now, look here. This went from 1454 to 1500. This move from 63 back to 67.50, that's a 3-4. That's a 4.5-point move, which is 16 ticks. See, that's greater. That right there, that move is greater than the entire daily range, and it happened in 6 minutes. Well, a little more than that. Maybe we'll give it 15 minutes. Versus 9 ticks in 5 excruciating hours. So, that's what happened Friday, and now today we are just kind of hanging out here. We had some lows put in last night on Globex, early this morning. We just took that out by... I think the proper term is a smidgen. I think that's the technical term for this right here. It was taken out by a smidgen. And even in fact, that last swing low back on Friday, right here, looks like that got took out by maybe a half a smidgen. And so, that's pretty much it. Wish I could make it more exciting or entertaining for you, but... It is what it is. Those are the markets. With that, Michael, I guess I'll pass it right on over to you.
All right. Well, then, with that, I'll grab the charts. Not a whole lot much more excitement happening over here. I'll show you on the charts here in just a moment. This morning we were looking everywhere for some action, and unfortunately there was not a lot to be had. Alright, that said, you guys are looking at my charts right now, and I will start the recording here in just a moment. Alright, here we go, when that little circle goes away. Alright, good afternoon everyone. Today is Monday, March 12th, 2012. We're going to go over the trades we took this morning in the live trading room. We only took Russell trades this morning. We missed a few of them. And some of the ones that we got into, we didn't take profit where we probably should have taken profit. And because of that, we are down a little bit on the Russell right now. Now, let's just go back to the beginning here. All right. At 9:30. Here we go. I'm going to minimize this because I don't want anyone to focus on that. Watch the bottom one down here, the CF combo. I know it says two, but it's really just a CF combo. what we're looking for here is divergence down here. Okay, we're looking for divergence down here. We're also watching the support and resistance dots up here. All right, and where price is with regard to the MA1. Now, over here, price had moved up and had broken resistance. We had everything moving up right here, so we took an entry here on the up close. we took an entry here on the up close above the MA1. Price moved up in our favor a little bit, and we didn't move our stop up or anything like that. It came back out, came back and stopped us out right here. All right, price had then reversed, tested the BBC right here, closed back down below it right here with divergence. Now this is buying selling pressure down here. I'm sorry, selling pressure down here, and we often refer to it as like a hiccup because the market just jumps up a little bit and then continues back down in the direction it was going. Like this move right here from here to here, this was a little up move inside of the overall down move. The entry position would have been right there, and that would have worked out just fine. However, I missed that entry. Price moved up again to resistance. Now, resistance didn't get put in until this bar right here, but it did move up to resistance, closed back down under the MA1, pulled back up to it, and dropped considerably right down into the weekly trading zone. Again, right in here was a little hiccup where price moved against the longer-term direction here by dropping down, but we didn't have any indication of it, so we had no entry position there. All right. Here, price moved up, and we had some bearish divergence right here. Now, I entered here on the pullback up to the BBC. I gave it a little bit of room here because I had missed the original entry. So I entered short right here. It dropped down about 10 ticks. I didn't take profit, but I moved my stop up to break even. If I had taken profit there, it would have been even on the day there, maybe up a little bit. But I didn't. I moved my stop up to break even, and that got us out here at break even when price moved up. All right. Right over here, down here, if you look at the bottom down here, you'll see there was another one of those moves where price, the longer term, was this move right here. Now, at the time, we only knew that price had moved down below the BBC, back up to it right here, and dropped down below. All right, that was another opportunity right in there is where it would have been when we had the little hiccup down there. All right, and price dropped all the way down here. Now, after it broke the support right here, I took the trade on the broken support right here when this had rolled down. Right here, I took that trade. And it came back against me and got me for 8 ticks, or 9 ticks. Again, price moved up, came back down. Similar scenario, but this time we had bullish divergence down here, so we weren't going to continue on the short trade here. All right, it came down, put in support, and right here where it put in support and closed back up above the MA1 with the bullish divergence. I've already got the arrow drawn in there, but this is the bullish divergence right here. Okay, that space in between the black line and the cycle. There was an opportunity to enter right there. All right. Now price continued to move over. I took this short trade here. The overall move was from here down to here. Price moved up here. I faded the divergence off of the BBC. Now this gave me some profit. This gave me about 8 or 9 ticks profit. And I just moved my stop up to break even, didn't take the profit again. That would have made me even or better on the day, but I didn't take the profit on it. All right. excuse me. As it were, price came down, did that. The MA1 held it. All right. Then it moved up, and on the move up, on the other side now, you see this right here closing up above the MA1 with this right here, the rolling up. That's the hiccup on the north side going long. Okay, that gave an opportunity to get long in there. And right here, we don't have anything. That was the Russell this morning. Now, I'm going to do something that we don't normally do. I'm going to show you the NQ. All right. I didn't mark the NQ up, but I'll just go through it. We were watching the NQ this morning because everything else was going sideways, and so we thought we would take a look at the NQ and see how that was doing. Very similar setups. You have the same divergences, closing above the MA1, coming off of support, moving up to resistance. All right. Over here, the same type of hiccup move on the way down, same time, same everything. Price dropping down through support. There was an area in here where it got really choppy. I'll show you that in a minute. Right here we had divergence, some bearish divergence. Price closed down below the MA1. This one moved against it a little ways here. It ended up going back down with it. There was an area, I want to get to that really choppy area and show you how it worked in there. Right here again we had divergence down here. And if you focus on the bottom right here, we had some divergence and price moved down with it right here. Now, I know over here, we'll get to it in a few minutes. We had bullish divergence right here, where price moved up. Same thing as we had over here. Again, right here, bearish divergence, price moved down. I know we had some guys in the live trading room that took this short trade right here. We don't normally, now I'm just going to tell you guys, we don't normally trade the NQ, but it's tradable. No, it's definitely tradable. And today was more tradable than the ES, the YM, and the 6E all put together. This was the choppy area that I wanted to get into. Now, in here in this choppy area, we had bullish divergence right here. So you would have been looking to go long right here. Got up to support, up to resistance for a little bit of a profit potential. All right, then price pulled back down here. Gave another possible entry right in here. Now, your risk on this is going to be down below the swing pivot, right? The one that got you into the trade. So that got you back up here to this next level, and it just gave you a couple of opportunities, profitable opportunities, in this really, really messy, choppy period right here. All right, now as we kept going forward, we had some bearish divergence in here, but we never had anything to support the bearish divergence up here with price, okay? We had bullish divergence establish itself, and we had to close above the MA1 right there. Right on top of support, wasn't the greatest spot for it. It still gave a few ticks. And right now, we are working with broken resistance. All right, that's broken resistance right there. We have divergence, bullish divergence, to support the broken resistance. So if we got to close up above the MA1, that would be a good spot to go long. All right, that's what I would be looking at right here. With the bullish divergence right now, the bounce off the BBC should work pretty well. Okay? So we have broken resistance, bullish divergence, and we're pulling back just a little bit right here, it looks. So I would look for a bounce off the BBC right here, or a possible close above right here if you want to wait until the momentum is with the trade. All right? That's the NQ. Now, we don't normally do the NQ in here, but I just thought I'd show that this morning. On the ES, we had one possible trade set up this morning from the 10,000 contract. We had a bearish cross right here with a pullback up to the BBC right here. Just as it pulled out of the weekly trading zone, it dropped from there down to support, which was a full 2 points. That was all we had on the ES this morning. On the YM, we didn't have a lot going on the YM. This is the first pullback here. The window of opportunity was from here at 865 up here to 880. It filled the window of opportunity. The entry would have been on the pullback to the BBC up to the MA1 for 15 ticks. All right. It dropped down below here, and we said we weren't going to trade anything over here. We weren't going to go short into the weekly trading zone. All right. The problem that we had with the ES and the YM was one was below a zone, one was above the zone all morning, so we weren't able to do a lot in there. Now we got our bullish cross here, and it pulled back down to the BBC. There was almost no room in between the BBC and the MA1. We did have one of our partners take the trade here, and he did take profit on it. Only 5 ticks, though, because it was just no room. And that was pretty much all there was with the YM, the ES, the Russell, the NQ. The one that I haven't shown you yet is the 6E. All right, now the thing with the 6E is that it was pretty quiet this morning as well. All right, on the short side, we didn't have anything this morning. On the long side, the only opportunity we really had, and it was questionable at best, and I was suggesting not doing anything. Because the white and the green were right on top of each other right here as it broke the elbow to the upside, I couldn't really say that the white was leading the green, so the pullback to the BBC might work, but typically that's the trade that we would look at. Now, beyond that, you could look at the full divergence that we had right here in the close above the MA1, right there. All right, and again, right over here. Those are the two spots where you could have traded the 6E this morning. All right, you could have gone long there on the full divergence, close above the MA1. Again, same thing right here, close above the MA1. All right, and that's it. That's what we had for the morning session. All right. If anybody has any questions about that, you can email me at tech, that's T-E-C-H at CFRN.net, or if you are listening and or watching and you have not taken the trial with us yet, you can take a free trial with us to see all this stuff happen live at www.cfrn.net/apply. All right, that's it. I'm going to stop the recording. Okay, the recording is stopped. If anybody has any questions about any of that, feel free to just type them in or, you know, email them to me, or, you know, you can call our CFRN hotline, or
call toll Bert. Free. Yeah, there's nobody at the toll-free number today. Keep Bert in your prayers. He's a little sick. They took him to the hospital this morning.
Yep, I think Leslie's sick too, I think.
I think she was scheduled to be. I'm not sure. She may be sick as well, but, yeah.
Yes, sir. Our brokers are ill today. But
Bert sent a text. I'm wearing one of these hospital gowns. Could you please bring me some pants? And I just said, no, I can't.
No. Johnny. Why do they call it a Johnny?
I never heard it called a Johnny before.
Really? You haven't heard of that?
Nope.
The little blue hospital things?
I didn't know that.
Scrubs?
I just always heard it called a gown. Abu, yeah. I see that you have a hand up in the air, and sometimes that happens by accident. But if you do have a question, by all means, just type it into the question box. If you look in your little panel there, you'll see where it says questions. Just click that and type it in, and we'll be more than happy to answer it for you. So I'll go ahead and take your hand down. When I take your hand down, don't think I don't want to answer your question. But you've had it up for 9 minutes, and I know that your arm's getting a little tired, so.
Yeah. I think he was just waving to you.
You just, oh, was that the wave? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just a greeting, because he had done that in the room this morning too. Oh, see that? Put it right back up. Well, what's the question? If you have a question, type it in. There it is. Oh, okay. No question yet. It is just a greeting.
Don't make me open your mic.
Yeah, we'll open your mic up.
Okay, we normally run late, but today we actually are done early, and I see that David is in the green room. So, again, guys, if you do want to take the free trial, it's pretty simple, cfrn.net/apply. That gets you 5 full days in the trading room. Well, I say full day, but it's 2 hours per day, Monday through Friday. But if you start on a Tuesday, then you'll be in there Tuesday through Monday. So you don't have to wait for a Monday to get started. You get 5 days. Now, along with having access to the live trading room, where we're trading the market in real time with real money and talking about the market, you also get the opportunity to download the charting platform, the indicators, and you have access to live data for the length of your free trial. So all the futures markets, from E-minis to lumber to livestock to grains, you got it. Even the futures for the British pound, the euro, any of the currency pairs that you might like to trade. If you're a Forex trader, you have unlimited access to that data 24/7. It is live and real time, okay? Not delayed data. So you get all of that. Plus, if you need any help, Bert, as soon as he returns to the office, which will be, I'm sure, tomorrow because he's such a trooper, call him toll free, 866-928-3310. That's toll free. Call him. He'll even log in and do like a go-to meeting with you to help you get your charts up and going, your indicators installed, to make sure everything is working properly for you. If you need to reach Michael or I, you can email support@cfrn.net, or you can call 415-857-5654. I know you didn't get that, so just on the website, on any page, right-hand side, down at the bottom, you'll find our number. 415-857-5654. Most likely, you'll catch the voicemail. Don't hang up, because that doesn't solve anything. Leave your name, your number, we'll give you a call right back. Fair enough? You can follow us on Twitter, @CFRN. We'd love you to punch us on the Google Plus right there on the blog page. If you don't know how to get to the blog, that's where we update every night with the daily podcast, with the charts, with commentary on what happened in the markets that day. From any page of our website, I really tried hard to make everything easy to find and accessible on the website. I tried not to be tricky at all. I just tried to like say, okay, here's everything. And all you have to do is click it. So I know sometimes people have difficulty. They're like, man, I don't know what to do. On the right-hand side of every page of the website, there's a little thing that says, visit our blog. And so if you click that, it takes you right to the blog. There's a radio tower that right under it says, listen to live radio 24/7. If you click that, then you're just able to listen to the radio 24/7. Below that, it says if you want to participate in the live commentary every day during the radio show, there's a red, white, and blue button that says click here. And if you click that button, then it takes you to the page where you're actually able to register and then participate in the radio show each week. And by participate, not only do you have the benefit of seeing our charts as we point things out, you actually get to participate in the discussion. You can type in questions and all of that good stuff. Right below that is our iPhone app. It's pretty simple. You just click it and it takes you to the page. It explains how you get it onto your iPhone. You have to actually load the link on your iPhone. In other words, you have to go to that page on your iPhone, but it explains it all right there on the page. Other than that,
toolbar, right?
There is a toolbar. I haven't put a link on the right-hand side yet to the toolbar, but I will, although I fear that will confuse someone else. But I'm going to put one there because it really belongs there. Right now on the blog, you can go and download the toolbar. And the toolbar gives you a number of benefits. One is that you're able to listen to the radio 24/7 with one click without, you know, leaving your browser session. You just click it and it starts playing.
You see all these things right up here. This is the toolbar right up here, guys. If you haven't downloaded it yet, it's actually pretty slick. I really like it. Dwayne did a great job with it.
And what it does is it puts stuff you normally do on the internet. It puts it all right at your fingertips. The Facebook, the Twitter, all of our blog posts, all of our Twitter posts, your Gmail, the Daily Audio Bible, your Amazon wish list. It's just all kind of right there for you. So what I'll do, because I haven't yet put that link out in the on the right-hand margin, I will send it out to everybody right now who is in the room. I'll put it in the box in case you want to install it. I encourage you to. It helps you stay connected with us 24/7. If we tweet something, you get it. If you know, if there's something great playing on the radio, you got it right there. You'll hear it. So anyway, the link's in the chat box if you want to install that. Whatever browser, it doesn't work on Google Chrome yet. I'm still working on that. It will work on Explorer. It will work on Firefox. And your virus software will say, hey, are you sure you know what you're doing? This just could potentially be dangerous. I assure you it's not. There's no malware or badware or any kind of ware. Just some tools for you to use. So I will be adding that to the right-hand margin. If you don't get the link today, you'll be able to grab it later. And if anyone has any specific issue or problem navigating the website, if there's something, because there's only about, there's like five different things you can do. You can listen to the radio, you can join the radio broadcast, you can visit the blog, you can send us an email, you can give us a phone call. And if you're a member, then of course you can log into the partners area where we have, I think now over 110 hours of video, 105, 110 hours of video training. Those are from our community workshops that we do every Thursday night for the partners at 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's a whole nother world once you go into the members area, but that only pertains to the partners. And I don't know that any partners have it. If you have trouble navigating that section, it's all on one page. So if you're looking for something specific, just scroll up, scroll down, and you'll find it. But if you have any questions, if there's anything at all I can do to help you better navigate the site, or something you'd like me to see added or changed, or, you know, just shoot me an email, support@cfrn.net, and I'll be more than happy to take care of that for you.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, how are you today, the two of you?
Good, just more quiet market conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The quiet
before the storm?
Continues, yeah. You think it's the quiet before the storm?
Well, it's just quiet at this point, but, you know, we have a... We're still in a very bullish mode in the market. Today's sell-off is really nothing important. We'll see how we trade a little bit later today. Quiet behavior. They went down. What is today's low? Is 60?
60.25? Yeah. In fact, we took out 60.25. We took out a low. Let's see. We had a swing low on Friday of 60.50. And so we just took that out by one tick, 60 and a quarter, and then bounced, you know, right back up.
Well, 60 is an important level for today in our support and resistance panel, and you know, we bought down there and we're waiting to see if we can get a little bit more move for an aggressive final exit on the upside. Nothing really big. This is just an intraday trade based on the fact that they're bouncing off of an important intraday support level. Bigger picture, we're still very much in the same category that we've been looking for, March to mark an important monthly top in the S&P. So this is, the market has, the high in February was actually the highest high, 1377.25. This month, the month of March, the high has been 1377. So with, for practical purposes, obviously, you know, we've double topped in the month of March so far. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. I would have liked to have seen 1383 tested. 1383 goes back a long, I mean, the number doesn't go back. It's not a, it's a number that's meaningful for other reasons. It's not a previous support or resistance level. But originally, when the market made its high in May of 2011, it was trying to touch 1383 in our way of looking at things. And so now we've come closer because they made a high back then at 1373.50. Now we've gotten up to 1377. But really I would expect or would like to see, this is better, it's not an outright forecast, but I would like to see them do 1383 or higher before this move is done. It's not 100% necessary, but that would be the normal thing to have, get that completion done that they tried to do in the second quarter of 2011. So the market required that decline that we originally talked about, the second quarter top for a multi-quarter decline, and did not do 83. And this advance gives the market another way of thinking about it, and a nice way of looking at it is the opportunity to go do 83 or higher. And so I'm still very much in the same position I was last week, which is we're buying all the pullbacks. So we still think that's a very adequate thing to do here, and we think it's reasonable given the market's position and the fact that we're halfway through the month of March so far. Now, we'd also said that there was some indication that the high for March might occur prior to the midpoint of March. And so we may have, maybe we've seen the high already, and we'll see, you know, if that's the case. But right now, with this particular pullback, we like the idea of potential long positions. And even though it's really, really quiet here, and, you know, you have to be in for that instant little bit of a move, and if you don't get that, you don't get a move. So you just have to wait around like we are right now. So we're going to continue holding. If we're going to still stay in it, if we're not stopped out, you know, having the market get up to 65 or something is reasonable from here. It's not very far off. So that's not an unreasonable target for the upside.
What was that last part again, so, David? I think you cut
out. I said 65 is not an unreasonable target for the upside. That's what we're going to use to, you know, exit our position if we can get a little bit more movement on the upside. It's not a forecast for that. It's just that would be, that's where we would like to enter our, or exit our remaining one-half aggressive long position from earlier today. So we'll see if they can get up there and give that to us.
Wes, so anything, asked, where was it you went long for that trade?
Oh, 61.
61.
Hold on here. Yeah, 61. Because it was against, basically it was against 60. You know, the 60 number that we're talking about. So it's just a support and resistance trade. This is no big deal. It's just an attempt to find an important level where the market is going to bounce and to be a buyer there in advance of them getting down there. Sometimes in, you know, subsequent to them getting down there. But in today's market, because it was so quiet, we decided to take the shot on getting in, you know, when they, on the way down, because we didn't feel they were going to go a whole lot further. We felt our real risk was not a lot lower maybe 59 or something at maximum. So that's a doable trade. That's an easy setup. So we'll see how that plays out. So I don't have anything else really right now for the S&P. We see, you know, it's funny. Nowadays you see a lot of big moves, or not a lot, but sometimes you see big moves on Globex, but we're still seeing a lot of quiet behavior in the S&P. The world news has sweetened up a little bit, but it still is pretty bad. There's a lot of potential bad things out there. this market doesn't seem to care really a lot about the bad things. So we're in still pretty good shape on the upside here. So that's our position. We're sticking to it.
Okay.
Anything else on your end for that? Or
No, just continued quiet activity. We sat and stared at it for 2 hours this morning in the live trading room.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Okay, well, let's continue on. A while back, we had a forecast in gold that we gave out to Bert and to some of his clients. It wasn't a roadmap, so we didn't give it out as such, but it basically was given out on March 7th for the market. The market had been trading around 1778 or so, and we're looking for the market to go up to 1714 it was trading around 1678, and we're looking for it to go up to 1714 to touch that price on March 9th. To get up to 1714 on March 9th. And then March 9th would be a turning point date for the market. And I mentioned the March 9th date on the program here before. So it did make a top on March 9th. The actual swing high came a little bit one day late, which was today, at 1717.40 as opposed to 1716.50. and they're starting to do their down move from this. So we like the idea. Right now, anyway, of selling rallies in gold for intraday, small, short-term type stuff for further decline. So if somebody wants to do that, that would be an indication from us, or at least our viewpoint on the indication, to take short positions on rallies for the potential for further decline. One of the targets you could use on the downside would be at or near 87 or 86 on the downside, not very far off today's lows. So if that's something, if your system, you know, if you can see yourself getting in, then, you know, if something sets up for it, then go for it and take a trade based on it.
Okay, now you're trading, which contract are you in?
The April.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should be in April according to Bert.
That's what I've got here, 69. You know, he's sick today.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's out of the office.
Oh. Well, let's hope he feels better soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Seems like something's going around, you know. I know a lot of people that have been through that just recently. So, okay, so let's see. I think that's it for gold, so let's try to take action on the short side. If we get a daily close below 86, that's the weaker position. And that would be either today or tomorrow. So keep an eye on that.
Today's low is
92, I think.
92, okay. So any daily close below 86?
Yeah, 86 would be the weaker position.
Okay.
So let's keep an eye on that.
Gotcha.
the T-bond markets is bouncing off of a one-day early turn for this market. We still have the longer-term outlook for T-bonds, which is that a much larger monthly, quarterly, semi-annual top has been put in, and we're looking for the market to continue lower. And so we like the idea of selling calls above you can pick your number, but somewhere above 145.10 would be a good place, we think, to sell calls with an expiration date of eternity. So see if you can get a fill on that.
Now we're currently at 140.24.
We're at 14.21. Sorry, I'm in the March and I should have rolled on this. So I haven't done that. Let's get the thing correct. So it is at Yes, 140.24. Thank you.
Okay.
And the calls that you'd be selling now would be 143.17-ish, 143.15. Anything above that, you can sell calls for an expiration date in eternity. That just simply means really far out.
Okay.
And you could hold those maybe, you know, for practical purposes, all the way through the rest of the year, through December. You could have them expire in December. That's something you might want to take a look at. If you don't know about calls, you can call, no pun intended, Bert, and he'll talk to you about them and show you what they are. They do require more margin, so you'd have to have excess money in the account to be able to do that. I don't know what the margin requirements are, but he will, and he'll show you how those work. But they're very useful as another income stream from the market, which, you know, we're going around all the time looking for high probability income stream. Even if it's not a big amount, it's something that's coming in, and if the risk reward is good, and what I mean by risk reward is it a high probability trade? I don't really believe in or buy the it's got a 3-to-1 risk reward ratio or a 5-to-1 risk reward ratio. That's an old myth in the markets, because the only portion of that is really known in the 3-to-1 or 4-to-1 is the one. In other words, you know what you're risking, but you don't know what your reward's going to be. So people can talk themselves into a trade by saying, well, it has a 5-to-1 risk reward. Well, the 5 is your assumption about where the market's going. The 1 or whatever is what you're risking. What you're risking can be known. The 5 can't be known. And even if you can forecast markets really well, the fact is that I don't think it's a good idea to base a trade off of that. I think it's better to base a trade off of the probability, period, that something's going to happen, rather than utilizing the idea that you're risking 1 to make 5. You can say that after the fact, but I think a lot of people trick themselves into bad trades by doing that. So, something for you to consider. We actually wrote a little article about that once, about the what we think is the myth of the risk-reward ratio. The real thing you're looking to do is just find a high-probability trade. And then if you have a forecast and you're able to forecast, then put that in there and trade reasonably as best as you can up to those numbers and go from there. But what we want to know is that there's a high probability of either a turning point or an advance or a decline. And if we have a high probability, then we want to participate. The fact of the high probability puts us into play. You know, the fact that we do have a high probability means we should be in and trading it. We're not thinking about it. We're saying, how do we get in? Where do we get in? How do we manage this trade? And it's not real hard to do. But it could be hard for you to contain yourself until you see something that's really high probability, or to train yourself to see high probability, which is what the radio program and all of our little things are about. You know, in our particular way of doing it, high probability is with reflected wave. That's the course that we teach. Dwayne's is with his indicator set. So we're always looking to find something that has high probability of happening, and then, you know, trading from that point forward. Now, going to the euro, we had forecast a weekly top on the week of February 27th. The market continues to move lower. I told you that the week of March 26th is the next important week in this market, and as
we get a little bit
closer in the euro.
In the euro, okay.
Yeah. And as we get a little closer to
now,
that, we're going
to... Have you gone to June on that contract yet?
Yes.
Seems like Bert's always telling us that we need... That one rolls over a little later than the other one for some reason. Is that true?
It may well be. I don't know what its rollover date is, Dwayne.
Michael,
I can find out.
It seems like I recall that usually when we do rollover, it's like... maybe 2 weeks later that Bert says, okay, now roll.
I think it might be a week later, but I know the actual volume, you know, right now the volume is still 10-to-1 in the March contract.
Okay, so we really should still be on March at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
So that's what we're kind of focused on. If tomorrow were to make a lower low than today, Mm-hmm. We might be interested in that for a long position in the euro. So we're not forecasting a lower low tomorrow, but if that were to happen, we might be interested in doing something with the euro tomorrow. So keep that in mind. That's March 13th, tomorrow. Let's see if there's anything else on the euro. You know, the big, the weekly top in the euro, you know, we're still under that influence. I'd like to see let's just see what they do. Let's just see if we do get anything with the euro at lower prices. If we do, then we'll talk about it into tomorrow and go from there. crude oil. You know, there's a lot of stuff about crude oil in the news right now. Why do you suppose that is?
I don't know.
Because the gosh darn gasoline prices. I don't know if your gasoline has gone up over there real big or no.
Yeah, it's up to, it's close to $4. I don't think it's hit 4 a gallon yet, but it's really close.
Okay. Yeah, it's really close here if it hasn't hit yet. About 65%, from what I've understood from the news reports, of the population disapproves of the government's handling of the gas prices, which really means sort of the energy policy of the administration. And, you know, this administration has been hostile towards drilling on federal land in the last 3.5 years, and there's some speculation as to whether or not if that has something to do with our supply right now. And there's been on stuff on the news that, you know, we're at the highest we've been in a long time in the last 8 years in terms of production. So, you know, there's an argument to be made that how much more production would we have had, and would that have made much of a difference? Because a lot of why the gasoline prices are high, if you're a fundamentalist, has to do with the Middle East, of course, being in great uncertainty. So that, I think, is the main reason for the uncertainty is the Middle East. You know, the number one thing that we import into the country isn't bad plywood from China or things that have lead in them. It's oil. But we do import a lot of weird things from China that have lead in them. How come everything from China has lead in it? It doesn't matter what they make, it has lead in it. What is that? Does every manufacturer, is there a law there that you have to have lead all over your manufacturing facilities of everything? Because everything they send to us has lead. Don't eat anything from China.
Some of it has antifreeze.
Some of it has antifreeze? Okay.
they have a surplus of lead. They
must have a surplus of lead. It's a growing commodities market there. You know, our president wants to stop paying the subsidies to the oil companies, which might be in the billions of dollars, and I couldn't agree more, to be honest with you. I don't think the oil companies need the subsidies. They make plenty of money. They're, you know, their boat is floated. They're running. You know, they've got their thing going along, and they're going to be just fine. I don't know if he's going to get that through or not, but that's one of the things that I agree with him on, is that we don't have to be subsidizing companies that are doing very, very well. There's no need to subsidize that. And so that's something that we could save, you know, $4 billion here and $3 billion there, and before you know it, it adds up to just almost enough money for the government to care about it. So, yeah, our number one import is oil. That's the biggest thing. We have a very large trade deficit. That means we're buying more than we're selling in the world. So oil is one of those reasons that we're doing that, and it's going to be here for a long, long time, no matter what the alternative energy is, whether it's electricity or, you know, hydrogen fuel or propane or natural gas. We do have a lot of natural gas, and there's a lot of trucks and things running around on that right now. Obviously, it's a combined effort to get off of oil, but it's going to be a long time before we're, quote-unquote, off oil. So, you know, we're going to be with oil for quite some time. It's not just going to disappear. And, you know, the oil companies are looked at and viewed very hostily by this administration. But if you go back for 50 years, for the most part, as an average, oil prices have been remarkably low you know, dollar a gallon, $1.30 a gallon. I remember it used to be, when I was a kid, it was 69 cents a gallon or whatever.
Yep.
Or even less. I don't remember exactly what the prices were. Dwayne, maybe you do. But as an average, over the period of time, gasoline has been really a very cheap commodity, especially compared to other countries. In this country, gasoline, as an average, has been very low. So, very low meaning like under $2, you know, in the dollar plus range for over a large period of time. I don't really have the stats in front of me, but I do know through memory that gasoline has been a reasonable priced thing for a long, long period of time. And just now, over the last many, many, you know, 8 years or whatever, same thing with gold. Gold has gone up. You know, uncertainty is what this gasoline, crude oil market and gold react to. So they like anarchy, you know, and when stuff, you know, hits the fan, that's when these prices start going up. And that's really what we're looking at here. I'm not crazy about the energy policy of the administration. I think they think they're doing a fabulous job. I think they could be doing a lot better in a number of different ways. But the real reason that oil is high, if you're a fundamentalist, is because of uncertainty in the Mideast. I mean, that's it. Unless you got something to add to that, Dwayne, that's where I think the price, that's why the prices are where they are. Putting technical considerations aside.
Sure. Oh, no. I mean, that's a real concern. I mean, they've been, these embargoes have been placed against them, and they're now trying to barter, you know, they'll take rupees, they'll take, and they're just having a real difficult time. They need to sell their oil to buy food to feed their people, and and Russia's made a real stand that, you know, if you mess with Iraq, if you mess with Iran, you're messing with us. So yeah, there's an awful lot of tension surrounding that whole situation, and it may quieten down for a period of time. They say they're going to let the inspectors are going to come in and check it out, but the argument there is that they've been stalling simply so they could, you know, move everything or hide it or whatever the case. So yeah, that's going to continue to be an issue, I think. Yeah, I don't think it's according to the book where it is written, it's going to always be a problem.
Yeah. Always has been.
Always has been, yeah.
I mean, I don't have to go on the radio and make any public forecasts for where a nuke is going to come from, but it's going to be in that area, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
If we had to guess.
Yeah. Okay, so crude, we do have a top that is due for crude in March. I've mentioned this. This is monthly or larger, quarterly. We have a larger top due in March for crude. So it should be interesting to see how the market handles this month and the subsequent months, because there is a natural price for crude, and this is kind of a little bit independent of contract months, but $112 is a natural price for this market into or slightly before mid, right around mid-year. So that is, and we haven't reached that. You know, we just reached, we recently went up and did $110.55. But they can have a pullback here and then later complete this, you know, and go test that price. For people who are selling options or doing things with crude on a bigger picture, like straddling the market or what else, things like that, if you're selling puts in crude, we want to see crude stay above $100 a barrel between now and mid-year. So I don't want to see it. I'm saying this because I happen to know some people that are doing this and they've straddled the market, so to speak. You know, keep an eye on that, because if we do break $100, especially if we were to do it getting closer to June, getting closer to May, you would not want to be in those puts, because then we could see kind of a wide open break pr- prior to that time frame. So you just want to keep that in mind, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get on. But a lot of people have sold puts in crude in the oil options business. You know, regular day traders and professionals alike have sold a lot of puts. And I'm totally fine with that. We do have a monthly top end, but I think it's going to be several months. And we do have the $112 natural level up, you know, coming up later in the year, you know, sort of mid-year-ish. That is important. And so in spite of this monthly top, even if we get a good decline from it, that would probably still be buying territory. And we'll talk about that as we get closer to that. But I hope that's helpful, at least to the people who are doing the puts in that market. Again, with options, when you sell premium, you sell puts or sell calls, you collect a premium. Your account is used, and they pay into your account a certain amount of money that is the value of that put. And that's as good as it's going to get for you. That's the maximum that you can make off of it. The fact that they put it in your account doesn't make it yours right then. It's in your account. It isn't yours until the market moves in your favor or the thing expires without the market being in a puts condition of below your strike price. And I know this may sound confusing, but you can talk to Bert Schlichter about it from Daniel's Trading. He's very good at this and knows how to explain it better than I do. And when he gets back, he'll be happy to do that, I'm sure. So let's see. I think that's about it, Dwayne. We're just drifting along here very quietly. In the S&P, anyway. So yeah, that's about
yeah,
it. We just
it's,
you know,
it's just a horribly quiet day and not much.
It is.
You know, we can
not
make
a lot
stuff
going
up,
on.
But so you're sticking with your long till 65? Is that what you said?
Well, we're just going to hold on to it either till where. I mean, it's so quiet at this point. The volatility is so low. I'm not sure they'll do anything here, but. If they do, we're holding an aggressive final long position. So, we're going to be aggressive and hold it and see if we can get a little bit better movement on the upside here. And if not, fair enough, we'll get stopped out at a break even on it. We'll wait for the next trade. This is not a market you can really trade right now. This is way too quiet. It could take hours for a very small move to take place. You know, it could take quite some time. So you just have to... wait for a little bit more active market movement here. Let's see if there's anything else of interest over the weekend that I can... Anything interesting on your side, Dwayne? Because I feel like there's something else I wanted to talk about, but I don't... I didn't maybe write it down.
No, pretty quiet weekend here.
I mentioned that I like Tesla, and I mentioned on your program Tesla is a electric car company who did receive funds from the government, either the full amount or promised 500 plus million. I don't know how much of that they've taken, but they've taken enough to have a plant in California, and they're coming out with their second car. Their first car was the Tesla Roadster, which was a Lotus-bodied car, Lotus car. It was basically the Lotus Elise, that or one of those very, very small models that they had the battery pack in, and the electric motor is very fast, 0 to 60 in about 3.7 seconds for the S model. And, that's really quick. And the thing sold about 1,600 or 1,800 copies of it, and then they now have moved on to their big electric sedan, which is really a beautiful-looking car. And as I've mentioned to you before, I like this company. I like the guy, Elon Musk, behind it. He's very direct. The energy that he has is this is going to get done. He's no fooling around. He's no joke. And so I had mentioned that the market had bottomed on March 6th. This is for Tesla, TSLA, and that people could buy this stock because it was a daily bottom in Tesla. If anybody did that, the worst price you would have gotten was about 33. And today the market has made a high of 36.32. They're trading at about 35.49, and they have started a move up. And we've mentioned a number of times on the show here that I think this market is going to go higher. These guys are really up to something great. And, you can check out their – you can go to YouTube and take a look at their car. You can go to their site at Tesla and take a look at the Model S. Really a really beautiful. The guy that designed this, he picked this guy up who's done work for BMW and other things, but he designed a very, very pretty, really almost stunning, in my mind, car that has some Jag and some Aston Martin, some other looks, but very original, even though he borrows or doesn't even borrow. It's just in that same genre. But it has a really nice original look to it as well. And it's a pure electric. The one that the biggest range one, it has a 300-mile range per day. To be honest with you, I have some doubts about that range, knowing what I know now about the batteries and how they work and what real-world mileage is and all that. But even if it's 250 or 200, that's a lot more than most people would expect, and it would give you very little range anxiety. Their cars will start at around $49,000 to $50,000. It's not an inexpensive car, and that's after a tax rebate of $7,500. So, but it is what it is. It's a, you know, it's a car for people who routinely would be a buyer of Mercedes or BMW or some kind of a mid to high end car, and this is a choice for them rather than get those, they could go pure electric. And as I've said so many times on your program, Dwayne, once you drive an electric car, then you won't go back to pistons. And it's only because you guys haven't driven one that you still think your piston cars are really neat. Well, you won't be thinking that once you drive one for yourself. Or my name isn't David Williams.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I can tell you can hardly wait. I've only been saying to go to drive it for months, but that's okay. I've got all I've got on mine is
I
got about 2,300. I'm sorry?
I don't get out much.
I know you don't, really. You're very busy. I've got about 2,340 miles on my car this morning. I've now used 1.2 gallons of gasoline. 2,340 miles, 1.2 gasoline. The reason that works for me, this is the Volt, the car that explodes into flames and rolls over and melts and turns people into charred wood and you know, is a boondoggle and all that stuff. I don't know anybody else, including anybody that has a Prius, that's able to make that same claim, because a Prius will get you 50 to 52 miles per gallon properly driven. It's no fun on the way to doing that. Nothing wrong with a Prius, but it isn't exactly, you know, a night out at the fair to drive that car. It's designed entirely for gas mileage, and it'll never get any better than 52 miles per gallon. Here's a car that if you drive around in the city like I do, you can rack up thousands of miles on pure battery alone, and only just the other day I had to drive around further than I normally do, and as I was about 8 miles from my home, the battery ran out. I had already done my 45 miles, and the gas generator comes on. You don't even hear it. You wouldn't even know it's on unless you saw it on the dash, the little icon change, and I did another, you know, a quarter tank of gas, and the car will get about 35 to 37 miles per gallon on its gasoline if you have to drive it. So you have no range anxiety at all. You can just keep driving. If you want to go to California, you can drive all the way through, but it's really ideally suited as a city car, and then if you have to go further, you have no anxiety about doing that. All of these cars are a little pricier than they should be. The government has come in with these this $7,500 tax credit and all that. They're going to give that tax credit most likely to the dealer so that you can be credited with it right away rather than have to later, you know, take it off your taxes at some point in the future. And that does make some sense, but I wonder if the dealer is going to give you the whole deal since it'll be under his control. So we'll see how that works out. But anyway, check Tesla out. They bottomed on the same day as S&P, which we had forecast on the radio. They're up nicely from there. We like stocks. We do own stocks. We trade in stocks as well as futures. And you might want to consider doing some stock trading. Psychologically, I feel better about holding on to positions in the stock market. I can hold them longer, and I can trade in more size for reasons I can't even describe. I don't know why, but I just can. So that means you may find yourself in the same position. And they're slower boats. You know, they don't move as fast as futures. Of course, now stocks are moving faster than futures because we're going sideways here like nobody's business. But there are stocks that will pay off nicely over a period of time, and you just think of it as another income stream potentially to own some of these and to take a look at them, see if there's something there that would be good for you to participate in.
Since 10:30 Chicago time, Friday morning, we put in a high. And that high was... that high was 1368.75. That was the high. And the low we've seen today...
1360.25.
Yeah. So...
$8 range since Friday.
Yep. So, eventually, we'll break out of this, and it'll be tradable. It's difficult. If you try to trade in here, and I think this is where so often, people got up today and said, hey, I want to trade. That's what I do. I need to put on a trade. I got to make some money. Got to do the deal. Got to click the mouse. And it's a tough spot to be in because you start to try to see something that maybe is not there. You your mind can start to play tricks on you, play games with you. So when the market is quiet like this, you have to be cautious and careful.
Yeah. And we could say the same thing really about when the market's really busy too, but...
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's all true.
Except that when it's really busy, there is...
opportunity to manage on the risk, against the risk.
Yeah, to manage the risk and, maybe you get a runner and you're managing the risk, and so you don't risk a lot, but the thing takes off, and so you can get... you get something out of that, but here you get into the trade, and especially if you sit and stare at the screen, at the next tick, I'm going to get stopped out. Oh, and then it starts to go in your favor, and you're like, whew, okay, all right, now it's going to do the deal. And then the next thing you know, you're one tick away from getting stopped out. And yeah, that's not good.
It's a lot of fun.
You said it. It's a lot of fun.
No, it's just... it's just what it is. We just have to wait for them to pick it up here a little bit. I did like, and I just want to say, I like the fact that we did have the decline that brought us down to 1332.75, which just recently here, and we rallied back strongly off of that, the sixth bottom, the March 6th bottom. And that rally back is very good. That helps. That volatility was good, but they're just very relaxed. We'll just have to wait for a little bit more. I mean, there's just nothing to do on a day like today. Sometimes that's just the case. So we'll let them put it in here. I think, Dwayne, for us, we'll just... I would stay on the radio and we can talk about all kinds of subjects, but there's really... since there's no market movement, unless you have something else you want to address, we might as well...
Dave, I say we cut it short on this Monday, give everybody a rest, and then maybe tomorrow there'll be something exciting going on and we'll just chat it right up.
We will chat it right up. We're good like that. Okay, well, listen, I hope everybody has a great remainder of the day here, and I'll plan on chatting with you tomorrow, Dwayne. We'll have more as well on our side.
Okay, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, everyone. See you then. Bye-bye.
Guys, normally this show runs, as you know, 2 hours, 2.5, but there's just no sense dragging it out today. I'm going to go ahead and just grind it to a halt. It's a very quiet market. I will leave this chart up. If we get outside of this box, either to the upside or the downside, then there may be something tradable. If you want to trade off the top or off the bottom, well, you're certainly welcome to do that. As Bert would say if he were here, stay alert, stay alive. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.